wickedness taking place, and it was infiltrating, coming into for the grace of God and what God can and will do in that church. He's thanking God for what God has done in that church and what God will do and God will do in the lives of each of those believers. He understands there's problems in the church, but he also understands that God will give this church the grace it needs and give them the victory that needs to take place in their lives. Paul was thankful for the grace of God that was at work in the hearts of those in Corinth. Do you know, I'm not going to always agree with every Christian, every believer. I'm not going to always like what everyone else does. But we need to be thankful that God continues to work in the lives of believers. Do you know if you're truly saved this morning? If you aren't doing what God wants you to do, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be the working of the Holy Spirit in your life called conviction. And I ought to be thankful that I have the working of the Holy Spirit in my life to convict me, James Bliss, when I'm not doing right. And I ought to thank God that there's the working of the Holy Spirit to convict when Rex Tedeschi is not living for God, God is working in his heart. I ought to be thankful for when Rick is not living for God, God is working in his heart to convict him. And each individual, we can put each individual name there. Rich, you're not by yourself. You're a part of this too, all right? And we can put each individual there. And this idea is this. We ought to be thankful that God is still working. That God is still working in the lives of individuals and in their hearts. We ought to be thankful, not that there's problems in the church, not that individuals in the church have done wrong. We don't have to be happy for that. We don't have to be thankful for their sin, but we ought to be thankful that God has convicted and God has worked and God is going to do something in their lives. Do you know every one of us has done wrong in our lives? We ought to be thankful God has worked and brought us to the place of repentance and brought us to a place of getting right with God. That's what he's thanking God for. Do you know in the 20 years, in April we'll be here 20 years, in the 20 years that we've been here, do you know I've seen some problems? I'll just be honest. Some of you that have been here for a while, you know some of the problems we've seen in the church. And I'm not going to be unkind, but I'm just going to share some of the issues that we've seen in this church. We've seen immorality in this church. We've seen affairs happen in this church. We've seen people get involved in gross sins in this church. We've seen individuals that have done things, and even there's been some that even had a FaceTime in prison that were part of this church. We've seen great sins and great things that have taken place. But let me tell you, I don't thank God for all those problems and all those things that has taken place. But I thank God that in several of those individuals and several of those lives, you saw God work, they got it right with God, and they're serving God today. That's what we ought to thank God for. We ought to thank God for how God has gotten a hold of their hearts. And God has gotten them back to that place. And that's what he's thanking the church at Corinth for. He's thanking that God is working in their lives. God is faithful. But look at verse number 5. We see he's thanking them for this. He thanks them for the grace of God which is given by you by Christ Jesus. He's thankful for the grace that keeps working in their lives. But look at verse number 5. That in everything ye are rich, enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. He's looking at the faithfulness of God and he says, all right, I'm thankful for what God is doing, but let me explain to you what God is doing. What God has done. It says enriched. And this idea there here is we're enriched by his grace. The word enriched is the idea to be equipped with. He's saying God has given you, Church at Corinth, everything that you need. That word enrich means to equip. It means to make one wealthy. It means to give riches to one individual. Here, he's telling them, I have given you everything that you need. God has given us everything we need to handle the difficulties that we face in life and be victorious. God is faithful. God has enriched you by his grace. God has given us everything he needs, that we need in our lives. He says this. Look at the words. What did he enrich him with? Utterance and knowledge. Speech and learning. You see, God is faithful because God has given you everything you need to be that lighthouse, the God's church, in that community, in the wickedness of Corinth, to live for God. God has given you what you need. God has given you, God has given me everything we need today. Because God is faithful. He's given you that speech, that utterance. He has given you the words to say. Now I want you to think about it for a moment. How does words, how does speech, how being equipped with speaking help the church? How does it help the church of God handle difficulties? I want us to look at a few thoughts in regard to this speech being enriched. First and foremost, we're enriched with the right speech to spread the gospel. How is it going to help the church of Corinth and the problems that they were facing and they were going through and the wickedness in that city? How was it able to? Because God was going to equip them and give them what they needed to say when they needed to say it to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know so many people say, well, I can't share the gospel because I don't know what to say. You know what? You know what has happened in the older days? Is they would bring someone to church and say, Pastor, you need to share the gospel with them. No, you need to share the gospel with them. No, you need to tell your mom about Jesus. No, you need to tell your dad about Jesus. Why? Because we are to understand God has given us everything we need to share the gospel with this world. The pastor doesn't need to share the gospel with your family members. Now, he can, but you can share the gospel with your family members. God has given you everything. Well, I wouldn't know what to say. This is the idea of equipping. This is the idea of giving you what you need. He's given you the speech. He's given you the words to say. He's saying, you're going to come in conflict with some people that aren't going to understand what you're doing. But don't you worry. God will give you what you need to tell them. What do we need to tell people? It's simply this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to tell you, there's a God that loves you. There's only one God. There's not many gods. There's not the God of the sea. There's not the God of this God and the God of that and the God of this. No, there's one God. He's the great I am. He's the creator of this universe. He's the one that has always existed. He's the one that sent his only begotten son to this world for that purpose of going to this world to dying and rising again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. Jesus died for you. He rose again the third day. He offers the only way of salvation. You know what we need to understand? God will give you the words to say to tell people who he is and what they need to do in their lives. And you know what the church of Corinth had to do? They just had to open this and start sharing what God wanted them to share. That's what's going to change that church. That was going to change their testimony in that community. That was going to make them the lighthouse they ought to be. You know, we think we need something magical to happen to be a true lighthouse in the community. We need something magical. We need to run big numbers. We got to have big promotions. We got to have this and got to have that. No, you know what's going to change the church, to change this community? You know what's going to make us a lighthouse in this community? Well, we understand God's given us all we need, and we just need to go out and daily, regular basis, let people know there's a God that loved them, a God that died for them, and a God that rose from the grave, and he'll give them salvation. They just need to repent and turn to Jesus. That's what's going to change. And God can give you and me the words to say. Rich our speech, our utterance is what it says. Speech. Not only to spread the gospel and be the lighthouse, but I believe also this utterance that he's given there. What he's talking about being enriched, being equipped with the words to say, is that we know how to help one another in the church. Do you know, sometimes we think, well, I can't help that person because I don't know how to help them. I don't know what to say to them. Do you know, if we pray about it, and let me stress this, we need to pray about it, ask God for his help, his strength, but he'll enrich us to give us the words we need to say. Oh, I'm not a teacher, preacher. That's someone else's responsibility. I'm not this type of person. That's someone else's responsibility. No, we can go and the Holy Spirit will enrich us, equip us to be able to give the words that we need to do to be a help and comfort to one another. This is the whole idea. Church of Corinth is going through some struggles, and what they needed was support from one another, and they're saying, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to be a support. I don't know how to be a help. I don't know how to do this. And he's saying, given you the grace you need. God's given you everything you need. He's enriched you, and don't you worry, he'll give you what you need. Do you know sometimes the best thing you can do when you're sitting down to supporting someone is to shut this and open this. And then you point them to Scripture and say, hey, this is what the Word of God says. Hey, here's some comfort. Here's some help. Here's what you need. But you know who gives that to you? The Holy Spirit gives you what you need to say. But it also says he enriches you with utterance. But it also says knowledge. What is this knowledge? This knowledge he gives you is godly knowledge. What he's saying is, church at Corinth, God has given you, equipped you with what you need to be that lighthouse, that testimony you need to be. And God has given you the knowledge, godly knowledge, to be used. Godly knowledge. Go to Psalms chapter 1 for a moment. I want us to look at a simple thought here. In Psalms chapter 1, this is a very familiar portion of Scripture to many in this room. It's one I challenge you to memorize, because this is a very good help in each of our lives. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man that what? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know what he says? I enriched you that you give godly counsel, not ungodly counsel. Do you know what the problem was in the church of Corinth? There were those saying, this is what I feel to be right. This is what we think we should do. And they were giving their human philosophy instead of God's wisdom. See, godly knowledge is giving God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. And what they were doing, they were giving worldly wisdom to the individuals that were part of the church at Corinth. Now, what is worldly wisdom? How does that creep into the church? Well, this is how it creeps in. We have before us the Word of God. We have the principles by which we need to live. We have the truth by which we need to live. But what we do is we say, well, that's old. That's 2,000 years ago. That happened a long time ago. This is what those type of people were. We're different people. Yes, there's some good truths that we can still look at and some things, but we need to change the Word of God to make it more modern to line up with us. No, we need to change us that we line up with Scripture. Now, I understand the culture's changed. I understand technology. I understand different things. I understand there's different ways. But let me tell you, the Word of God has not changed. His principles are still the same. The truths are still the same. We need to still live those truths and preach those truths and teach those truths. Godly wisdom is taking the Word of God and saying, this is what God's Word says. Now, we've all been tainted a little bit. Just be honest. Because we have seen so much of all the different things going on, we think we have to get into this entertainment philosophy in our churches today. Now, I understand that some of us don't have long attention spans. And I understand some of the times we need to change things a little bit to help individuals pay attention. And I understand some people have to fidget, and I understand some people have to do certain things to help keep their minds so they can stay focused. I tell you, I've dealt with people that you think they have no clue what you're saying because they're doing 20 different things or on this or on that, doing this and doing that. And then you talk to them afterwards, they know more about the person that was staring like this the whole time because that person was off in another world. That person that was doing this was actually paying attention. And I understand things have changed. I understand sometimes our attention spans have changed. And I understand there's nothing wrong with having fun in the church. I understand there's nothing wrong with having voice inflections. I understand there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, we have adopted a philosophy that we have to entertain individuals. No, we don't need to entertain anyone. We need to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to keep following the word of God. We need to keep doing God's word in our lives. And this is the wisdom that he says he's going to give you the wisdom. Let me give some thoughts. Gaining wisdom, equipping you with God's philosophy, God's wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing wrong with having some promotions. There is nothing wrong with having big days or different things in a church. We've done some of that in the past. But let me tell you, that is not how you build the church. Because what you get to get them in, you got to keep going bigger and better to keep them. If you give away, there was a church that gave away $5 gift cards to everybody that was a first-time visitor. And that worked. They had a huge crowd. The next time they did it, they had to give $10 gift cards. It kept going up. The last time I heard this church did it, it was $25 gift cards. And it's a church in town here. If you want to go get a gift card, I can tell you where it is. All right. But the thing is, what brings people to church? I understand we ought to invite. We ought to invite. Every week we ought to invite people to church. We ought to encourage people to come. We ought to tell people we love to have them come and be a part of with us. That's great. That's wonderful. But you can't give away things and think that's going to bring people to Jesus. What's going to bring people to Jesus is the preaching of the word of God. Nothing ought to replace the word of God. Again, we can have promotions. We can have special days. We can have special things. That's not the problem. The problem is we have changed it and we put an emphasis on something else. The emphasis always has to be on the preaching of the word of God. It's not on entertainment. It's on the preaching of the word of God. And he says, I've given this church what you need. I've given you the utterance. I've given you the knowledge. I've given you these things. You're not lacking anything in regards to this. The church was not lacking. Look a little further here. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You have everything you need because you have a guarantee. That's a business transaction. A guarantee that settles a transaction is what it's talking about there. You've been confirmed in Christ Jesus. You have everything you need because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. He has guaranteed this. You are confirmed in him. Now, what does this confirmation have to do? What does this confirming have to do? As you look at verse 7, this ties this all together. All right, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's thankful for the working of God. He's thankful for God enriching them with utterance and speech. Because God is faithful to keep working. He's glad for the testimony that they have. And they're confirmed in Jesus Christ. They have all they need because of where they're established. That word confirmed carries that word being established in. They're established in Christ Jesus. That's what they're grounded in. That gives them all they need. That's their support. That's their strength. That's their root system. They have everything they need. But look at verse 7. He's thankful for the gifts that God has given them. He's thankful for all those things we mentioned, but now he's thankful for the gift that God has given. Look at verse 7. So they come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to do a lot this morning on the gifts, but I'm going to cover a little bit on the gifts this morning. When we get to 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read several scriptures. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about gifts. But when we get to 1 Corinthians 12, it gets involved in the gifts here. But what is Paul saying leading up to this point? He says, you're lacking nothing. And you're not behind in the gifts. You have the gifts that you need to be able to be the church God would have you to be. All right, what is gifts? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. We're just going to look real quickly. Again, when we get into chapter 12, we're going to spend more time in this. 1 Corinthians 7, 7, for I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, and another after that. Every man has their gift. All right? Go to chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. All right? And then he's going to go in and he's going to talk about those spiritual gifts. Don't be ignorant. Look at verse number 4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. All right? Verse 9. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing, but by the same Spirit. And we can go to verse 28. We can go to verse 30, 31, chapter 12. We can go to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, 14, verse 1, 14, verse 12. It talks about the gifts given there. And Paul is saying, coming back to chapter 1, Paul is saying, all right, you don't lack anything. And God has given you the gift, or God has given you what you need, the abilities, the talents to do what he has called you to do. God has given you everything you need. I believe God has given us each gift. My gift may differ from your gift, but we're all given the gifts that we need to be able to live for God. And what this idea is here in chapter 1 is that God has given you exactly what you need in your life as an individual to live for God and please God and be the lighthouse that you need to be. Now, we may differ, but it's the same Spirit that gives you the gifts. It's the same one that gives you what you need. God has given each of us exactly what we need in our lives to live for him. Now, at the end of this message, when you're done, if you want, I have copies of a back. It's a test. And what you do is you fill out the questions. And on there, and I have it a copy up here, there's 29 questions. And you answer the questions, you put a number, and it kind of gives you an idea of what your spiritual gifts may be. Just so you have an understanding. Some might know, some might not know. And it gives you the idea. But the idea is, you answer this, and if you want it, you can grab it. If you don't want it, that's fine. But the idea is this. We look at the gifts, we look at what God has equipped us with, and we use it for God's glory. No matter what that gift is. Now, I want to say this too. You don't have to wait for a ministry to use the gift that God has given you. I've had some say to me, Pastor, my gift is teaching, so you have to give me a class to teach. No, you don't find that in Scripture. What it's saying is, well, my gift is this, my gift is that, and I need this ministry. I need my gift's hospitality, so I have to be given the hospitality ministry to be able to use my gift. No, what it's saying is God has equipped you. God has given you that gift. God has given you what that gift is, that talent, that ability. No matter what situation you find yourself, no matter if you have that ministry or don't have that ministry, you can still use your gift to glorify God and make the church a lighthouse in that community. God has given you and me everything we need. He has given us those gifts. I do believe this idea of when we stand before Christ, one of the things we're going to be judged for is how we use what God has given us. And I believe many believers have not used what God has given us. Do you know you have and I have all the potential in the world? You ever been told that before? We have all the potential in the world. Do you know in the walls of this church and with those that make up this church, we have all the potential in the world to be a shining light for Jesus Christ. We have all the potential in this world to be an exciting lighthouse, fervently living for God. It's all there. You have all the potential. in your life as an individual believer to be one of the most sold out, zealous, excited, God-fearing believer that you've ever seen. We have all the potential in the world to be like some people we put emphasis on, like Spurgeon, like Moody, like those individuals. You and I have all the potential in the world because it's not based on us. We're enriched by the same God that's given you all those talents, all those abilities to be used of God and be that lighthouse. You have all the potential in the world to be the best father in your home. God has equipped you. God has given you everything you need. God has given you everything you need to be that the greatest father in that home that you could be. God has given you all you need to be the greatest mother in that home. He's given you all the talents, all the abilities, because what it stems to this, if you're living for God and you're serving God, you will be what God wants you to be. God has given you everything you need. Why aren't we having homes that are glorifying God? Why aren't we having churches that are glorifying God? Why are we struggling with the difficulties around us? Why are we failing in our Christian life? Why are we failing in our churches today? It's because we are not using what God has given us. We're not using it. Paul said, church at Corinth, I thank God that he's faithful. I thank God for you and for the grace he's given you. I thank God he's enriched you with utterance and speech. I thank God that he is not lacking and he's given you the gifts. I thank God for that. But you're not using it. You're not taking what you have and using it for God. We're wasting it. How many ever wasted time or money before? How many have ever spent kind of fervently when you spent and you really didn't think about it and you didn't keep track of it, and then you realized how much you actually spent, and then you realized you and wish you never spent that much? How many ever bought plants before, Rich? And you like plants and you get all these plants. Have anyone noticed how expensive plants have gotten lately? Just like everything else. And they keep, and you got, only three or four plants. And all of a sudden you look at the bill and go, how did that happen? We get to that place. But you know, many of us have wasted our time and our money for God. I tell you, we got to look at this for a moment. God has given you and me, he has enriched us with gifts, the potential, the talents, the abilities to use it for God. But we sit back and we don't do it. We come to church and we sit in our seat, we soak in sour and leave. We don't daily get involved and use all God's given us. It's not that we lack it. It's we're not using it. Oh, we have excuses. I'm old. I've done it before. It's someone else's turn. I have a family. I have to take care of my responsibilities as a man of my house. I have to do this and I have to do that. And I have homework and I have this and all these other excuses, all these other reasons. And what has happened is, God's church that Paul was talking about in the beginning, as we looked at last week, is sitting and not being used the way God wants them to be used. Let's break this down. God's church is who, as we looked at last week? Remember, we looked at the word church, ecclesia, called out assembly. Who is the called out assembly? The members of the church. And what do we see? Each individual is not using what God has given them. If every one of us would use what God has given us, we would be that shining, bright light in this community. You know what? I'm tired too. We're all tired. We all have a lot going on in our weeks. I believe most people in this room don't work 40 hours. They work a whole lot more than 40 hours a week, even if they're retired. I believe it. I believe people are burning both ends of the candle. That's what the day and age we live in. I believe most people don't get more than 5-6 hours of sleep unless you're Brother Rich. I mean, just kidding. But most people don't get a lot of sleep. Most people are going, going, going. If it's not work, it's kids. If it's not kids, it's this. If it's not this, it's the dogs. It's this, it's that. And we're going 20 miles an hour, 500 miles an hour. We're going every circle, everywhere around us, and we're doing all these things. But you know what we're missing? We're not using what God has given us for His honor and His glory, and we're not the lighthouse that we need to be. We have all the potential in the world. The city of Napa is pushing 90,000 people. In the city of Napa, counting any type of church, any type of building that calls himself a church, and even several of our buildings that actually have three so-called churches within a building, and all that's around here, we have somewhere around 200, 250 services going on a Sunday morning. Out of the 250 some services going on in the morning, for my best calculation of looking at several of these and looking at some of their doctrines and looking at some of their teachings, I would say roughly around 20 of those preach the gospel as we would believe what the gospel is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that you can't add to salvation. Some of those others may add something to it, and we can get into all that doctrine different. But to believe exactly, for by grace saved through faith, and not of self gives God, and not of works lost in man should boast, that salvation is of faith and faith alone, you can't add anything to it. There is probably 20, maybe 25 that would believe the way we are. Now think about this. There's 25 that believe what we believe the Bible teaches, and in this world preaching the gospel the way we believe the Bible does, in a city of 90,000. And do you know, in the city of Napa, out of those churches, and I would lump some that you and I probably wouldn't even go to, but they preach the gospel, all right? Out of most of those, the biggest attendance is about 500 to 600. If you scale it back to those that would be a lot closer to us, you're looking at 200 to 300 is the biggest attendance. Most of them average 100 or so. What does that show you, what is happening in the city of Napa? Wait, has not God equipped us? Has not God given us all the potential? Has not God given us everything we need and the wickedness that's around us to be that lighthouse shining bright and seeing people come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Has He not given us everything we need? He has. So what's the problem? We are not using what God has given us to be that lighthouse we need to be in our city. But I want you to look a little further, because you see, God is still faithful. God's faithful because of His grace. God's faithful to us because He's given you the utterance. He's given you the knowledge. God's faithful because He has confirmed you. You're established in Him. God's faithful because He's given you those gifts to live for God. He's given you the potential. He's given everything you need to live that victorious life. He's given it to you. But God is faithful. Because, look at verse number 9. Because of the partnership we have with Him. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then go back to verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're partnerships. We're in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He is faithful because of the joint partnership we have with him. And also, he's coming back. Now, we're not going to get in a whole teaching of when Jesus is coming back. I understand there's several different views out there, and people have their own different views, and we can give you the different views, and one day maybe I'll teach on the views and do all that. But let me just tell you, Jesus is coming back. And why we're waiting for him to come back, there's some things we need to be doing. The Bible tells us we need to be working. You see, he was thankful because he knew Jesus was coming back. And he said, church, you need to understand, we don't know when Jesus comes back. No man knows the hour. But let me tell you, in light of Jesus coming back, you ought to be doing something. We have all the potential, but we need to be doing something. And then it says, you have a partnership with Jesus. You have a fellowship with Jesus. You need to be living for him and carrying out what he's called you to do. I'm amazed in this because God does not need me, but God wants to use me. He does not have to be in partnership with us. He could do it all himself. He does not need me. But God saved me, not because he needed me, but because he loved me. And God saved me because he loved me, but he wants me to live for him. God loved me, and he saved me, and he equipped me, and he gave me what I need because he loved me so much. And because he loved me so much, I love him because he first loved me, and I ought to serve him and live for him with all that I have. And he says, you know what, my child? I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you what you need so you can live for me. That's that partnership. He gives you what you need so you can fellowship with him. He gives you what you need so you can carry out your purpose. You ever wonder what your purpose is? What is your purpose? What is my purpose? My purpose is to be rich, no. My purpose is to have the best stuff, no. My purpose is to do this and do that. Do you know our purpose ought to be one thing and one thing only? To please God. That's our purpose. Do you know everything else doesn't really matter? I'm preaching myself. It doesn't really matter what car you drive. It really doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank account. It really doesn't matter what type of clothes you wear. Those things don't matter. It doesn't matter if you get to go to this place of entertainment or that place of entertainment. It really doesn't matter. You know what matters? Pleasing God. I do know this. There's a day coming that I'm going to leave this world. There's a day coming that either I'm going to die or the Lord's coming back. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain be caught up together. Comfort one another with these words. It's coming. Guess what? You're not going to live on this earth forever. Now you will live forever, but not on this earth. There's a day coming that we're going to not have another breath. And honestly, none of us know when that's going to happen. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 2 hours. But I do know this. As long as I have breath, I need to be pleasing God and using what God has. see, there's difficulties going on in the church. There's difficulties going on in the community of Corinth. But Paul said, church, you're struggling because you're not doing things God's way. But God's given you everything you need. And it's time to turn back to God and use what God has given you and be that lighthouse you need to be. I just want to challenge each of us this morning. God has given you, God has given me everything we need as a church and as an individual. But let's be honest with ourselves. I want us to look just for a moment. And I'm looking at myself just as much as I want you to look at yourself. What are we as individuals doing this morning? Each one of us. Are we being what God wants us to be? Are we using the potential? Are we using the words? Are we using godly wisdom? Are we using those things? Paul was thankful for what God has done. God is faithful. It's not that God's not faithful this morning, folks. It's because we're not faithful. We're not faithful using what God has given us. And let us look at ourselves this morning. Let us look within this morning. And are we using that potential? Are we using what God has given us for His honor and His glory? Or are we using it for our self-glory, for ourselves? What could God do if you and I just say, Lord, thank you, you're faithful. And I'm going to strive to be faithful. And I'm going to use what you've given me for you. What could happen in the city of Napa? What could happen in the state of Idaho? What could happen in your homes? What could happen in this world? Oh, preacher, you don't understand. There's so much wickedness around us. Preacher, you don't understand how wicked this world is. Haven't you watched the news? Haven't you seen all the problems? Don't you know what we face in school? Don't you know what we face at work? Don't you know what we face every day? Don't you know all that's going around us? Yeah, I do. Because I live here just as much as you do. And I see it just as much as you do. And let me tell you, what Corinth was going through is probably a lot worse than what we see. But Paul says, God's given you what you need because God is faithful. God is faithful. He's given you, He's given me everything that we need. Let's use it for His honor and His glory. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your